Let's just extend a hand if you would. Wow. Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you for Steve. Father, we just ask that you would put Steve on in an amazing way today, that you would speak through him to the very depths of our hearts. And Father, we pray that we would be changed a little more into your image today as we leave here this afternoon, having listened to your heart. Thank you, Lord. Wow. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello. Am I on? Am I on? Okay. Then don't turn me off. I want to be on. And that's the truth. You know, I'm winding down messages that are very real in my life, things that I've lived by and proven. They aren't a cutesy sermon I heard off an internet. They're worked in me, and I think that's part of what our job is as pastors and teachers, to let the word become flesh before you speak it out. I learned that the hard way. I remember hearing some great sermons that I just grabbed and preached, and God said, well, you don't speak very good when your mouth is full. Oh. Some words sound, you know, taste good in the mouth, like Ezekiel, but when they hit here, you go, oh my gosh, it's a little heavier word than I thought it was. So what I'm going to do today is share on the Word of God. Let's hear it for the Word of God. I am a word man. Most of you know that. I'm not a man pleaser when I speak the word. I want to obey God. I've got a feeling I'm not going to answer to you. We're going to answer to him. And I've had God literally show up to me and tell me, thank you for holding on to the truth. That broke my heart, that he just broke my heart. Truth will get you in trouble. But I wouldn't have it any other way. I signed up to, I was actually searching for truth and not God as a hippie. And when I found out they were one and the same, it blew me away in a good way. So I'm probably speaking to the choir because I've influenced you and taught on the word for years, and I know a lot of you are absolutely word people, and I commend you. But for those of you that aren't, we're coming after you. The truth in America is up for grabs. It's become relative, and I got news for you. This book has no relative truth in it. It is absolute truth. It is not up for debate. It's not up for the vote. It's not up for our seminaries to figure out it may mean this and that and the other thing. It means what it says. And I think that God will always reveal that to people that want to know God. That people, you know, bring it on, God. Bring it on. And the word is just, every day I thank him from the bottom of my heart for this word. The vineyard itself has always wanted to keep in balance two things, Word of God, Spirit of God. Jesus said, you err in two areas, neither knowing the Scriptures or the power of God. And some churches are all Bible, some churches and are all Spirit, and neither one of them will bring you home all the way. You will get trapped and sidetracked if you value one over the other. Fortunately, they're both God. You know, they're both linked together, totally linked together. And I value both. The Spirit and the Word have to come together, because Jesus was the Spirit and the Word, wasn't he? Absolutely. And don't we want to be like him? Yeah. So I'm going to start where you don't think I'd start on a verse like this. This is probably one of the most anointed songs right now in this body. And I like it a lot. It's got a haunting. That one place where the keyboard comes in and goes, dun, 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 dun. That just haunts you. And then it comes down to this thing. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. And I want to share as I jump into the word today that's true. But that is not the end of the story. Gary gave that lovely word at the end about the dance. You know, it takes two to dance. You know, we can sing this and cry and get goosebumps and go, oh, he loves me. Oh, God. And we've all done that. I mean, this song has brought me to tears. But God's waiting for us to sing a song back to him like that. Do we want to light up the darkness around us? Do we really want to climb a mountain to come after our God? You know, he did everything. He ripped it all open. He said, I have taken away everything that will stop you from coming to me. So bring it on. He's literally saying, come on down. And sometimes we just, you know, oh, he loves me. He loves me. And he's trying to say to us, do you love me? Are we singing a love song back to God? And I want to end this service today. I want to end this service today. If you're not serious about the scriptures and getting to know God there and all the stuff that he leads us into through his scripture, the foundations, the transformation, the mind change, the worldview change, the value system change, the whole life change, everything alters. From when you were born again, you became a new creation for a whole new universe that you will not know with just a simple sermon or a love song sung at you. You need to show God, I'm coming after you. And there's nothing in my life. I will kick down anything that stands in the way of me getting closer to you. And oh, I don't have time for the word. Some of you need to kick some things down today. There are lies holding some of you back from getting into the Word of God. I'm not educated. I'm not, you know, I didn't go to Bible school. I didn't either. So let's just flush that one down the toilet. If you want to know God, he turned the then known world upside down by ignorant and unlearned men. But they believed they could open the book. Some of the greatest, there's only a few revivals in all of the history of Christianity that there were any well-educated men at the top of them. Most of them were almost illiterate. And yet God said, I'll take you. The only one that I know of that was highly skilled was Charles Finney. I mean, a scholar of scholars. But most of them were ignorant, unlearned men. And a few people gathered together in barns and cellars and silos and just saying, God, we want to know you. The vineyard that is around the globe right now started in a living room of people that got so burnt out on church and doctrine and everything. They couldn't even speak anymore. They just sat there and sang until God showed up. It's a journey we go into. This reckless love was God doing his part. This is all relational. We are going to return his reckless love to him. Are we going to reset our priorities and values? Are we going to let our other things come between us and our God? Are we ready to kick down every barrier that gets in our way of pursuing him in his word? Are we ready to tear down all the lies and excuses that keep us from quality time with our Father and taking in his word? Think about the parable of the sower. The sower sowed this great, precious, eternal kingdom seed. And some didn't take care of it. Some didn't guard it. And it was stolen. It died because of shallow roots. It had weeds growing around it and became unfruitful. See, that's our part. I'm so glad the good shepherd came and threw some seed on my heart one day. Boom, put in the incorruptible word of God into my life. And I went, God, I want to guard this seed till this thing comes up. And I don't want to just grow up. I want to become fruitful into you guys and you guys into the city and the city into the country. This is bigger than us. And we're going to need the word of God like never before. Or you won't know where you're going. And you probably won't get there. Okay, let's start the journey. The word gives me life. Now, I'm just doing testimony today. The word of God gives me life. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." The word of God gives me life. Some of you are feeling sort of dead. Some of you are feeling sort of empty. I got news for you. You may not need me to pray for you. You may need to go eat something. And I can pray and get you feeling good and get your tears going. I say, wasn't that marvelous? But you need to go eat something. Healthy people eat. Sick people aren't hungry. Let's get you up. Let's take you to the table. Let's go in and get what God gives us. I've written here in my notes for me, this is my story, not yours. I accept the responsibility for determining how fully alive I can be. It's not if we have someone up here that can't preach at all, big deal. Well, I'm not being fed here. Why don't you go eat? Why don't you eat something? Why don't you pick up your book? You know? Okay, erase that from the tape. Jesus said, the words I've spoken to you are spirit and they are life. They are not for here. Trust me, one of the lies you need to tear down from the enemy is he says, when you read the Bible, you don't understand it. Just say, so? So? It wasn't written to my mind. It's written to my spirit. And it is life. The words he speaks to us, they are spirit. They are life. I read the word and I didn't understand it. I know I'm not educated. I can't process it through. Just believe what Jesus said. Their life. Their life. I remember Doug Thomas shared when he was running the A Street House, a guy came in totally fried out, just fried brains from everything. And Doug sat him down and just said, start reading this Bible. And Doug saw his mind transformed and opened up, and now he could process and reason. He didn't understand anything. He was gone upstairs. Gone upstairs. Reading that word. My Bible says he sent the word of God and healed them. Healed them. Heal them. This word will heal you spirit, soul, body. It's going to be brutal at times. It's a dangerous word. It's a powerful word. It's a confronting word. It isn't just, hey, I just love you like puppy dogs. You know, this word, we'll get into it. It's huge. And it's got a purpose to bring you and I to the image of Jesus Christ. That's good news. I'll never finish this sermon today. It may be too. Word of God leads to the God of the Word. Hear that. Hear that. The Word of God leads you to know the God of the Word. You can't know more about Jesus than the Word of God's going to show you. The Word of God is springing up to take you to your Creator, to take you to the author of the Word. to take you to God himself. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. The word of the scriptures are to springboard us in to the one behind it. We don't. Otherwise, you'll just turn into a Pharisee, and you're ready for the Bible trivia test that you get to beat everyone on. That's not the purpose of the word. The purpose springboards me into something. A gal came up to me this morning, hungry for God. And she said, I'm struggling with righteousness. I'm struggling with the righteousness of God. I heard you say that in the names of God 2 weeks ago. I commend her. Yeah, good. You heard. She said, I'm not experiencing that for me. And I looked at her and I said, read Romans. And when you find it, come back and show me. Now, do you think I could have told her the answer? It's going to be better when she goes in to find it. When she finds it, because she's going to find it with the Spirit of God leading her. She knows it's in Romans somewhere. I gave her that hint. Go read Romans. You'll find righteousness. You'll find it's yours. And when you find it, say, devil, get out of here. This is for me. This is from my God. This isn't handed to me by pastor. I'm going to read your word and you speak to me because I'm hungry to find out the truth about righteousness. Okay, that'll end all my counseling sessions. Thank you, Jesus. A lot of these I didn't do scriptures on. In the word, I can know God, know who God is and what he's done. In the word, I get to know who God is and what he's done. If you don't know who he is and what he's done, you're just walking around going, I believe in God. See, the church has to move from this phrase, I believe in God, to a better phrase, I believe God. Because when we hear, I believe in God, and then you hear what they believe about God, it's a bunch of cockamamie. They got it off of Oprah Winfrey and a motivational speaker. I go, what do you believe about God? What do you believe about God? Well, you know, it's just I believe, and he would never, and he's, you know. I just go, where did you get that? Well, I just believe it. Well, I know you believe it, but where did it come from? I just wake up. That won't do anything to you. The other side of that coin is that in the word I discover who I really am and what God has really called me to be and do. I'll never know where to start going, what to start doing until I find it. You can hear a preacher up here preaching till the cows come home, but there's nothing in you to hold it when it comes. You haven't done your work to receive the work that he's doing. It goes together. Jesus sowed the seed of the word, and those that didn't understand it disappeared. You can sit in church, hear a great word, and before you get the door, because it isn't, there's nothing there to catch it. There's nothing on your end that said, whoa, I'm looking for something, and I'm going to get it today. I've been looking in the scriptures, and then all of a sudden, how many of you have been going through something, and the preacher preaches right, you think it's just to you. That's because you've been looking, you've been seeking, and God just causes a preacher to go down a rabbit trail and you're there. Because you were ready for it, you caught it. You go, Pastor, thank you for that sermon. You spoke this, and you go, that's what my sermon was about. Where'd you get that? We need to know the Bible. We need to know the God of the Bible. We need to know the encounters in the Bible. You know, Bill Johnson says, every miracle you read in the Bible, milk it for all it's worth. Don't just think he multiplied bread. Milk the whole concept of whatever that is. Just start chewing on it, that meditation of Scripture. Chew on it till you go, what is God really doing here? Just doing a miracle or something bigger than a miracle? He's trying to nurture us into something. You know, when in the early vineyard here, we had wild things happening. And people would come up to me and go, oh, Pastor, that was just, God would never do that. I go, you wanna bet? When God visited the first vineyard, I mean, it was absolutely wild things. Wild things happened. I mean, whole rows of seats knocked over by people. Just in a moment of time, God blowing people all around. And people got really mad. The elders of the church got mad. They came up to John, who prayed all night long, said, God, you messed up everything. And John's there, and the elders come up to him the next day and says, we want to know just how far you're going to let this go. And he picked up his Bible, and he says, no further than this book. And he says, and they found comfort in that, and it scared the bejeebers out of me. Have you read this book? Have you read this book? You know, we can say God is good till you read Ananias and Sapphira one day. You know, and I don't know what to do with that. See, I don't need to know what to do with that. I didn't do it. Well, Pastor, I don't like that. I was afraid when that was happening in church today. Before you say you don't like it, and I understand you not liking it. I've been in services. I went, what the heck? What the bejeebers is going on here? I've seen men and women slithering down the aisle like a snake. Ooh. What do you do with that? You're in church. This isn't supposed to happen here. Before we overreact, because I believe that God wants to do weird again. Before we say, I don't like that and I don't believe, we have to ask one question. Is it biblical? Is it biblical? Because if it's biblical and you don't like it, then you're talking to the wrong person. If you don't understand it, come talk to me and I'll help you get confused together. But we can't vote God out of the equation. We can't go there. Can we? So if it's biblical, before we even released a lot of the supernatural in this church, I spent probably 3 or 4 Sundays just looking at supernatural weirdness of the Scripture. And all I was doing was setting them up to say, I'm not saying this will happen to you. I'm just saying it could. It could happen to you. I never go looking for weird. But I've been a lot of places where weird showed up. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. You still with me? In the Word, we become disciples, lovers, and freedom is there. We've talked about that. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if, we call that conditional. If you hold to my teachings, my words, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I know a lot of you are trying to pursue freedom in all kinds of ways. I would really recommend this book to you. Knowing his truth will set you free. Knowing his truth will set you free. And sometimes you just need to dig in, cry out to God, and say, God, show me something here. I do it every day. Every day my journey in Scripture has been, God, open my eyes to see what I don't see. Open my ears to hear what I don't hear. Because I want to come after you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. That's just that other side of the equation. God says, I love you, and sends his son to the cross. And he's waiting to see if we love him. And then he says what it looks like. Whoever loves me, he will obey me. He'll obey my word. Isn't that weird? Pretty strong stuff. Then he says this. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. Well, that's weird. I thought we were already loved by the Father. Do you think there's another level he's talking about? There's sort of the Father's love to all the children of the whole world. And then the ones that run after him and pursue him. Do you think there's another wave that comes upon them? I'm just reading a scripture that our king wrote. I think there's another level of God when we actually not only believe in God, but believe God. And that means we start walking into something. We start applying it. Okay, that's probably heresy, but we'll... The word has wisdom to impart for every situation and circumstance of my life. I actually believe that. I actually believe that God has an answer. I actually believe that. I just absolutely believe that God has an answer for every situation. Some of us think, it's too big, I'm just too gone, I'm too wrecked, I'm too sinful, they've hurt me too much, I've been wounded by the church too much, whatever. We all have our song we've sung. And, you know, I'm just saying, I personally believe that the scripture will speak to us. Because he told us to go there. He told us to search it out. He actually did that. I would suggest, I got this from Bill Johnson, and it works. I've done it my whole life. When you have a question, when you're crying out for an answer, read Psalms until you hear his voice. I would also add, read Psalms or Proverbs till you hear his voice. You'll get a quicker answer than this Bible mumbly peg thing. That's never worked for me because God wants me smart, not gambling. I had something to share that. I just think the Bible has things for everything. Your marriage, your relationships, your health, your finances, your commitments, your friendships, forgiveness, righteousness, what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to act, what's he requiring of us, his purpose for us. Everything is in the scriptures. Everything. Everything. Psalms, the longest verse, the longest chapter in the Bible is what? Psalm 119. There's the psalmist crying out to God. Psalm 19 has 176 verses in it. And 174 of those mention the word of God. That's our God. That's King David with a heart that God said, I like that guy. I like that guy. He likes my word. Did David screw up? Kinda. And God says, gee, you know, I think I'm going to have the future kings come out of this guy. Because he loves my word. He loves my word. It says in Psalms 119, 132, the entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. Any simple guys here? It's one of my favorite words. Keep it simple. God is not as complex as we're making him up to be. He's made it simple. You don't need to be a scholar. You don't need to be a wizard. You don't have to be high born or lower born. You just have to have a heart that says, God, I want to know you. And he says, come and get it. The ball's in our court, I guarantee it. The ball's in our court. We keep going, oh God, come down. He says, oh, come up. Come on up. I'm here already. And you're sitting here like I'm not here. Just get excited. Just get excited. Position yourself for what the Word says. Hey, there's more than two here gathered together today. Woohoo! He's going to show up. He's going to show up. He's going to show up. If you want him to. But you got to act like you want it. You got to believe that, gee, the Word of God is true. He said he'd show up if two or more of us gathered in his name. You can't be a spectator. You got to go, oh, man, I'm going after you. Okay, I'm just going to keep going. This is one of my favorites. Promises, power, and provision are here. His divine power has given us, what's the next word say?
Everything.
Everything. Then why don't we believe that? Everything? No, maybe he gave someone everything, but I just got a little smidgel. No, he gave us everything we need for, listen to this, life and godliness through our knowledge of him that comes from the Word, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, you, point to someone, say, you may participate in the divine nature of God. Does that sound worthy of opening a book? Not your little phone with, I get a verse every day that pops up. I'm not throwing a rock, but come on. I got a Bible app that only gives me warm, fuzzy verses. Okay, it's a good start if you just got born again, but grow up. Go in. There's promises he's given us. Once you know the promises of God, you get something to pull on. It's, oh, I hope I can pray and God will give this to me. You know, you'll have a little more faith if you know it's a promise to you. And then you say, thank you, God. Thank you for that you promised me. Some people are, oh, I just can't get filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me help you out. It's a promise. It's a promise and a gift. Just unwrap it. It's not complicated. Say thank you. Thank you for your Spirit, God. Thank you that it's ours. You promised this to us. I didn't even finish. That we might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Doesn't that sound like I should read my Bible just for that one? Participate in the divine nature of God. Somebody stop the madness. And escape the corruption in the world, that he's given us everything for life, every avenue, every mountain, every valley, every pain. I felt the pain. I felt the confusion. I know rejection. I know depression. I know unemployment. I've been on food stamps. I've been in the hospital. Hello, I'm human, you're human, but God wants us to know life beyond, I'm existing. He came for abundant life, and it's found if you look for it. It's found if you pant for it, it's found if you're hungry for it. Oh, I think I'll go to church today. Well, it doesn't matter if we're on time either. I just, you know, we'll just dance in a little, you know, whatever. Well, you'll probably get what you got. You study revivals and thousands are in a line for 7 hours waiting to get in. I'll say, well, that's stupid. We'll talk to the people that waited and went in and had a miraculous encounter with the living God. It paid the price. It said, oh God, I'm so hungry for you. I'm so hungry for more of you. I'm so desperate for you. We'll talk about that probably when I finish this in a couple weeks. I think I've got a thing in the middle here. Nope, this is good. The Word of God reveals His purpose. This is a game changer when I saw this. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Do y'all love God? Yeah. Okay. Freeze frame. Ben, wherever you are right now is working for your good. And if you think the devil's after you and everyone hates you and you're all alone and someone's beating you up and poor you were potty trained wrong, whatever, you know, fill in your blank. My mother always gave me red shirts and my brother blue. You ever see me in a red shirt? What color do I wear?
Blue.
One day I was in the closet going, and Mitch said, what's wrong? I said, I can't find my shirt. And she said, well, what color is it? And I said, blue. And she said, they're all blue. You need to change a worldview. You need to change a lens. The devil isn't out to get you. God is out to promote you. God is out to turn this thing around, and He sets you up to fight and to win. And you've got to do your part in that. Well, I prayed and nothing happened. Well, God doesn't want you to pray now. God wants you to take out your club and beat something. How did Jesus deal with His things? It is written. It is written. That word of God, He put it on His hand and He came after the enemy. He says, you lying devil. It is written. You're not going to win. You're not going to win. I have a word from the King, and His word is powerful. I'm not even there yet. For those who God foreknew, He also... I get excited easy. The Word of God just makes me leap. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. So you got according to His purpose, and His purpose is one thing and one thing only. To conform you to the image of His Son. So whatever's happening in your life right now, if you know that, then you know that God loves you. Oh, thanks a lot, God. This is the best desert I've seen. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Thank you, Papa. I must be His favorite. How do we process this stuff? I don't know if you've seen the cartoon from Mel Gibson and when they were filming the movie The Passion. There's a comic on the internet that is classic. So it's right after the scene where they whip him to smithereens and he's just covered with blood and rips and everything. And they've got Mel Gibson. They're sitting on chairs next to each other. Mel Gibson's in his normal clothes, and here's bloody Jesus. And Mel Gibson is obviously counseling how we're going to film the next scene. But they wrote in the caption that Mel Gibson is saying, I've had a horrible day. I just got to talk to you about it. And Jesus is looking over at him like, you had a horrible day, huh? Let me tell you about mine. See, God has a purpose, not only for us here in the church, but those outside of the church. He's always designed to create man in His image and likeness. So if you don't know this, your lens is gonna spread out all over the place. You're going to ask, why? Graham Cook does that so good. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Oh, don't you know? God's conforming you to the image of His Son with all things. That doesn't make it any funner, but all of a sudden you can see something. You can see that God is in this. It isn't the devils attacking you. They may be there, but they're probably God's devils. Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. I'm praying for you. Don't pray for me. Stop him. No. I'm just going to let him do it. Because we're working something in your life, Peter, and you're too foolish right now to see how prideful you are. But you will in a couple days. Oh, Peter, and when you succeed in this, strengthen all the brethren in the church. God knew he could win. God set him up to win. And he's sitting there going, Satan desires to sift me as wheat? And you're okay with that? Yeah, I'm okay with it. Have fun. We'll be back in a couple days. And what do you do with that? See, what if wherever you are and the things life happens to you, that stuff that happens to everyone in this room, no one is immune to it. You just go, God's in here somewhere. I've seen Gene Hart grab a hold of that from our class that we taught on spiritual warfare. They've had a horrendous 2 years now. Is it getting any better? She, every time I see her, she still sees what we've taught in this. She goes, we're going to make it. God's doing something. God's doing something. See, we need that lens that can only come from the Word of God, because the Word of God is God's worldview. This is how he views it all, and he unlays it for us so we could come into that worldview that he has. Okay. Gosh. I'd buy another hour from you if it was for sale, but it's not. Let's take one more and I'll shut her down. Oh, this is too good. I should do them all. No. From milk to meat, from weak to strong. I hope I'm not sounding cruel. I actually believe the scripture says when you're a newborn babe, you should desire the sincere milk of the word. What do babies eat? Milk. Milk. It's good. So I'm not, if you're freshly in the kingdom, why don't you just download this podcast and hear it in a year. You'll really like it then. But if you're just sucking on the milk of God's word right now, God bless you. It's going to do exactly what it's supposed to do. There's nothing more precious than the milk of a mother. It fights, the immune systems and everything. It's just some of the healthiest stuff on planet Earth. But you shouldn't be on the bottle when you're 35. See, milk is for weak people, and milk is food pre-eaten by someone else. But meat, you got to go in and hunt it down. You got to go in and get it yourself. And there's something about the two categories here. The first one is milk. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of my name. Yay! That's good milk. Isn't that good milk? Remember that milk? Ha, Jesus forgave me. Jesus forgave me. And we had to drink it for months to let it seep in and start growing us. Jesus forgave me of all my sins. But listen, let's get to the guys that are eating meat. I write to you young men because you are strong. The word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. Woohoo! Hoo-hoo! You've overcome the evil one. So if I sound like you're pushing this too hard, I just want to see you grow up and become dangerous. We need you. We need you. We need you. We need you. And we're ready. We're okay with the time when we're sitting here going, open Baba, Baba. Time for the diapers. We're open for that. We're all open for that. But there's a time when I want to say, the answer's in Romans. Go find it. Go find it. Go in and find this scripture. Bring it back to me when you find it. There's probably several there. Bring it back. Go in and hunt it down yourself. Because when you do that, you will be so richly rewarded. Because his sheep hear his voice. They know him and they follow him. I'm going to shut it down there. I'll pick it up. I think 3 weeks. I'm gone for 2 weeks. You'll come back then. Let's stand. I hope, as I'm sharing in all honesty, that these are really testimony scriptures to me. I hope in your spirit something is going on, like when you walk by a bakery and smell fresh baked bread. And it's sort of like that cartoon where the fumes pull you in and music is being played. I hope that God is pulling you into his word. I hope that there's a fragrance in the air right now that is saying, you know, Shaw's a little weird. But I still like him. Word of God. Word of life. Word of God, word of life. Father, I pray that we will awaken. We will awaken, God. I'm going to hold the whole punch for 2 weeks, God, but I pray we will begin to kick down everything standing in our way. We will learn to manage our time in the proper order. First things first. Highest priorities first. And your word should be way up there, Lord. Not leftover time. Not if I have time, I'll read the Bible. No, I have time for the Bible. And it may squeeze out TV. Or it may squeeze out some trivia thing. God, I pray that we will tear down every lie that says, you don't understand the Bible, so you might as well just close it. You don't remember what you read yesterday. That's okay. It's not written to your head. It's written to your heart. You will reap, because this is eternal seed of God. You will reap if you protect that seed. You will become wise. You will become strong. You will become an overcomer. You will become victorious. You will partake of the divine nature. You will understand the purposes of God in your life. Father, I just pray, give us a real hunger for you, the living word, and the written word that reveals more of you. You sort of cycle it around, God. They're both dancing in us. Father, I just pray for 2 weeks before we speak on this again, they'll be in the journey even more than they are now. We want to live and we want to set people free, God. We want to give bread to the hungry. And we're the bread that you're going to break and bless and distribute in this city, Lord. And we just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the countless that died translating it, that had their heads cut off for thinking that everyone could read the word of God. They were killed, they were tortured, they were maimed. And they finally delivered a book to us. God, I want to value it. I want to value the blood of the people that paid the price so that commoners could read the word of God. We just bless these people now, Lord. Bless them. Now, if you're here today, I just want to just stretch out. If you're here today and this sounded so good and so foreign, you probably don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And this would be a good day to do that. It's when you know the author himself, the word can come alive. Without him, the word won't be alive. It'll just be a book. So if you're here today and you want to just say, this is a good day to give my heart to Jesus, the living word, and I want to start this journey that you share about, would you just raise your hand if you're here today? Just raise your hand. Anyone here wants prayer today? Anyone at all? Yeah, it's great. Bless you. Anyone else? Yeah, good. Let's just close. The ones that raise your hands, why don't you come on up as we pray, and the rest of you pick up chairs and go home. Thank you, Father, for life, life in the Word. What a wonderful journey we have, God. I get a few of the leadership up here. Where's my sister? Come on in. Yeah. Have a great day.